This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks. Hey everyone, today's episode gives you all a sneak peek into our Making the Most of Your Marriage e-course. We take you through 15 different types of bad communication tactics that can appear in our relationships like passive aggression, hopelessness, denial, and sarcasm. Give you real life examples of when these characteristics appear in our own romantic relationships and which ones come up the most for each of us. If you're listening to this episode, you can get $50 off our e-course by using the code TALKITOUT. TALKITOUT. Go to thetherapygroup.com and click e-course from the top menu. The e-course has modules on sex and intimacy, boundaries, expectations, money, and more. We will also post the link in today's show notes. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and have a wonderful week.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Em.
So, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you have heard us mention that we made a premarital course, which is very fun. It's the first time we've ever made an e-course. It was a shit show, but...
Took us some time.
The funniest part about, doing this job in general... is the fact that, we can be experts and specialists in something. It doesn't mean we're necessarily applying all of this to our own life, right?
Sometimes makes it worse because it we know, you know what
we're
I mean?
We're doing is very wrong.
We're doing the things that we know we shouldn't be doing.
That's not helpful.
Right. And when you're ignorant to it and you're doing these things, you know, it's a little bit different than when you know... you shouldn't be doing certain things and you're doing them.
Okay, so part of the e-course, we were doing communication. And so we had altered this. This is really great. If you have never read David Byrne's Feeling Good Handbook, it's the heaviest book you could ever imagine.
It's gigantic. I was using it as a yoga block because I didn't have a yoga block. And apparently
that's how big it is.
Here and there, it's gigantic.
And so we had adapted some of this, something he had put out about characteristics of bad communication. And as we're doing this, we're like, oh, I do this. And so we're like, oh, we got to record this. So we are going to go through the characteristics of bad communication worksheet that we use. And we're going to give you real life, embarrassing, shameful examples of how we've done this in our own marriages or in relationships. Because that is how willing we are to embarrass ourselves.
I mean, we've gotten so much better at embarrassing ourselves. Okay. This is real. This is going to be a good one.
Okay. So we all sometimes do bad communications, right? We didn't learn these relational communication skills in school. So part of this worksheet is to take radical responsibility and accountability of the things you do in your relationship.
And let us preface this by saying the reason we want to talk about, too, the reasons why we engage in some of these bad communication tactics is because when we're in relationships, when we start to argue or we're getting heated, that our goal is to, you know, we jump into protecting ourselves. And sometimes the way in which we protect ourselves ends up pushing our partner farther away. And so, but we do that so instinctively because just as human beings, we are built for survival, we're built for protection. And to be in a relationship can be vulnerable. It can be scary. And so when we get into this bad communication, we're doing it not because of ill intent, but because we are trying to protect ourselves in those moments.
So
and some of us protect ourselves in different ways than others. So,
okay. Yeah. This will be very interesting to see the difference between you and I.
I know.
In this, right? Because we're so incredibly different.
Let me just say, too, I haven't even thought about what I'm going to say on this.
That's kind of better, right?
I figured. Yeah. I was just like, I'm just not going to prep for this at all.
Okay. So, first example one, truth. You insist that you are right and the other person is wrong.
I do that all the time.
Jen, tell us how.
I just am always right. No. Yeah.
Should we bring Bill in right now?
Oh, no. God, no. No, I think that, and I was actually talking to another couple about this, that because you're in a relationship with someone who has a completely different perspective than you, right? You are arguing from your perspective. They're arguing from their perspective. And the fact of the matter is, what's the real truth? And so,
but if everything is seen through a lens, how is there real truth?
Exactly. And I think the tough thing is that we get so stuck on the content of something.
Yes.
As opposed to the process. And we talk about this all the time with clients. But, you know, so often we get stuck on, okay, well, my perspective is clearly right and yours is wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And so this is hard, right? So like one of the ways we de-escalate this is finding some truth in what the other person is saying. Right. If you can find some bit of truth of how they were hurt, of how they were neglected in some ways, you can also be able to, because a lot of this is all about like decreasing that reactivity so you can meet people where they're at for actually productive communication.
And so often, this is one of our favorite lines, we say, do you want to be right or do you want to be close? And my answer in my head when I'm arguing is I want to be fucking right.
In that moment. But like that after moment. That moment, what's the answer?
The answer is I want to be close. I don't want to be fighting.
No, of course. Who does?
So, but I mean, it's a good example of like when you're activated, you know, you're protecting yourself. There isn't this like drive to be like, oh, I want to be close right now. So I'm going to acknowledge my part in this and recognize that there might be pieces of what you're saying that are true. And this is why we say when you're activated in an argument, it's so helpful to take some time apart and then come back together to talk through so that you're being more responsive than reactive.
Yeah.
So what about you? What about you when you argue?
I mean, that's like a huge one I do, especially the issue that I really had to catch myself, especially when it comes to like co-parenting stuff. Like I often feel like I'm the right one, which is not okay. And I have to like catch myself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like my instinct is to always be like, I know the right way to do this, to like really like have that like maternal side of me. And I have to really be like, oh, no, that is also her parent. He also knows what to do. I also need to trust him that I believe in my partner and I trust in my partner. And I need to like, and part of this is like my own anxiety of control.
I have a question about that too. And tell me what you think about this. Do you think that being a therapist in general gives you some of that like arrogance?
I also think it makes us be able to manipulate stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think like we do know how to like play on people's emotions, right?
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that is part of, because part of what we have to do in our work is sometimes de-escalate people in the room. Right.
Especially like, in couples
exactly,
therapy.
Exactly. Right? And like, we're both very, very good at de-escalation. Like we, you know what I mean? Like you and I are so, like, if we have something that's going on, like we can be like, all right, like we're going to like calm this down and bring it down. And so like, because we're able to do that, that's also like in some ways a form of manipulation.
Yeah,
it is.
Well, I think because too, we've gotten so good at that with other couples.
Yes.
Like I can almost, and tell me if you can do this too, like when I'm in an argument, if I want to, I can pull myself out of it and like hover above it and be like, wait, what's happening right now?
Okay. Sometimes if I'm in an argument, I will literally in my head say like, just stop. This is so stupid. And that's like hard. Like I have to like have the internal monologue to like talk myself down.
Exactly. But the fact that you can do that, I think isn't something that everyone can do. But okay.
I was going to say that this leads perfectly into the next one, which is blame, which is you say the problem is the other person's fault.
I never do that.
Okay, for us, this is like the messy house. Like the house is a mess because we have a toddler and two full-time jobs. And but like for some reason, I always think it's my partner's fault. I'm like very sure.
See, I don't fall into blame unless my partner's blaming me first.
Mm.
I'm like a very interesting tit for tatter.
Oh, you are. Okay, that could be more dangerous.
Totally. Well, I think just in general, I'm more like, okay, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm also, you know, like always been very independent. And in the context of being in a relationship and a marriage, that gets complicated. And mm-hmm. so like for me, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to make sure I do my part and do everything on my end. But I'm kind of like on my own island, but like in a relationship at the same time.
Okay. So then let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The next one is martyrdom.
Yes.
You claim that you're the innocent victim.
Do do that.
I know that I have done this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, wait, question. How do you do it? Like, how will it play out?
Okay, so for us, it like typically looks like me being like, I knew this was going to happen. Like, you did this. You know what I mean? Like, so like mine is like very much like, like I like become like sort of like up on my little tower looking down, like I, because I can be a know-it-all and I know this about myself.
But so if like, will you be like, oh, like I do everything and like I'm, will you, okay, wait. I think we kind of do this in general now that I'm thinking about it. Not just in our relationships. I think we do this as people.
Okay.
I think it touches on us being bad at setting boundaries.
Yeah.
And we're not bad at setting boundaries. We're getting better at setting boundaries. I should say, we say yes to a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we get like excited about things in the moment. And so we're really making a conscious effort to not say yes to as many things, but
to always at least start with, let me get back to you. That's
yes,
our goal.
Yes. But then when we get to that point, we're like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. Do we not do that?
Yes, we do. We totally do it. And then that's the martyrdom of like, look what all the stuff I do for other people. And look at all the ways I support my family and all the things I do. And it's like, well, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, that's what I have to say to myself. Like, sometimes I have to be like, Emily, fucking stop.
Right. Like, and also to recognize that like you play a part in this.
Yep.
Right. Like we play a part in the fact that we're overwhelmed.
Yes, we do this to ourselves. This is self-inflicted.
It's almost like, you know how we talk about kind of hustle culture and mm-hmm. how we're like, oh, we say like, oh, being overwhelmed isn't like a badge of honor or something.
Yes, yeah.
Whatever that
saying
is.
Being busy isn't a badge of honor.
Being busy, yes. Being busy isn't a badge of honor. Where you're like, oh my God, I'm so busy. Yeah. I have no time for anything. Like that kind of reminds me of it too.
I know. It is. Well, that's also, don't you think that's also conflict avoidance? Probably, stay so busy, right? You can't deal with actual shit.
Yeah, I think it like keeps you away from like looking inward and saying like, well, what am I running away from?
Right.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfect perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Okay, the next one. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready.
Put down. You imply that the other person is a loser because he or she always or never does certain things.
I don't do that.
I don't think that I don't do this either. Like, I don't imply my partner's a loser because I know that they are not a loser.
Yeah.
But I have found myself using language of always and never before.
Yes.
So not in this sense, which I think like that black and white thinking of always and never is also like incredibly dangerous. So like I don't do it in terms of put down, but I'm like, I always am the default parent, or I'm always the one who initiates doing the dishes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like I find myself like with those words, which I think are incredibly unhelpful because I know that's not true.
Yeah.
But it can feel like that.
I think I probably do that too now that I'm thinking about it. But in terms of, it made me think of kind of like name calling. Name calling is so toxic in communication. Mm-hmm. And even if I'm, you know, that doesn't mean you don't think it, right? Like in your head, you might be thinking it.
I mean, mine's always like fucking asshole.
Like, yeah, yeah. I'm like cursing. I'm like going upstairs and I'm clenching my fist and I'm
yes.
Like,
uh-huh. But also I've had those thoughts even about like my dog of like, oh my God, this big baby, like my dog is like the world's biggest baby. And so like there's a thing of being like, oh God, like when we like label them in an overarching term, then I feel like it also like it's like takes away like my own stuff. Like it's also like putting blame on them, right? Like it's just because they're a jerk, they do this. This
right.
is just who they are. That's it. I can't change anything. There's no point.
Right. And I think in certain times, like for people who maybe use put downs in an argument, right? There's this sense of, oh, if I call you a name, it's going to make me feel better. And like for me, at least, like that would never make me feel better. You know,
it'll
like
probably
people,
make
like,
me. I would probably make me feel better for like 3 seconds.
Oh yeah, like I
could be
know.
Like you're a douchebag, and like those. This is the amount of cursing. This is we're gonna get bad reviews on this episode.
I'm so sorry. If you are uncomfortable with cursing,
this is not the episode for you.
This is it.
So, like, if I get to call like my spouse like a douchebag, like probably makes me feel good for like 13, like I don't know, like 3 to 13 seconds, and then I feel like an asshole.
You know what's funny? What if you pick out like funny put downs that kind of like. That like
you're a cotton-headed nitty muggin.
Yeah.
Those were the best. Do you remember those? That one's for Elf, but do you remember those Orbit commercials? Those were the best. It was like, was it Orbit? Like, shut the front door.
Oh, I first of all, I don't remember that. I just remember, wait, is an Orbit commercial, maybe a Mentos commercial, and I saw this recently with like their like nipples were like really long. Did you see this?
Dude, I have not watched television with commercials in
No, I think
years.
It was like a TikTok. It was like one of those TikToks that
well,
was
you
like,
know, I had to,
what
I'm
are
off,
the...
I'm off the talk,
know,
baby.
Smart move. God, but off the talk. Off the talk. The talk got to you.
The talk
no,
got
but
me.
It was something
like,
to get out. Something like, what's the commercial that like haunts you? And I think it's a Mentos commercial and their nipples are just like, I think like... really hard because I don't know that's whatever that I don't know where we're going with that but
so you don't know what I'm talking about of shut the front door.
No,
okay, well, we'll find it, we'll put it on Instagram.
We're gonna have to find
yes,
it
we'll find it after this. Okay,
but I think if you call your partner something like funny, it almost like diffuses the situation.
Like you're a doo-doo head.
Yes,
like
yes.
You're being a doo-doo head right
you're being
now.
A booger.
I guess like there's a part of me, right? So like we're like, we try to be like very aware of like what we're saying about each other in front of my daughter, but it would like, because I don't want her to go to school and call people a booger or doo-doo head, right.
Even though it'd be kind of funny.
I mean, it would be very funny to me. I'm like really, I think everyone in my family knows that we're all waiting for the first time that Millie comes home from school and they like are like, Millie said fuck today, and like everyone's like, well, that's because Emily is the world's worst mouth, and like it's gonna happen eventually, and like at some point like I'm gonna have to like let the school know that like we actually like we curse in our home. Like it's not like we're not someone who's like not gonna curse around Millie. Like we're gonna have like a lot of conversations with her about like when's the appropriate time for cursing and how you don't curse at people. But like to me, like these are just words. I don't see them as like problematic. But like for sure, there's going to be some issues.
Absolutely. Were you allowed to curse growing up in your house? Like was cursing?
I don't think I was allowed. I think I just did it. I'll have to ask my mom when my mouth got really bad. But like it was early on. Like I was always a curser. I just always cursed.
Mine, I was not allowed. I wasn't even allowed to say fart.
You weren't allowed to say fart? What did you,
wasn't
what did you
allowed
say?
To say fart. I forget. I think it was like.
Would you say like pass gas? Would you say for fart?
I don't know, but we could not say fart. And so for that reason, like all of the,
that is very hard for me to handle that you could not say fart.
Doesn't that blow your mind? Well, it also speaks to the fact that like no one was being taught about their body.
That's a good point.
Right? Like the fact, and like my dad would get really uncomfortable if like a tampon commercial came on.
Oh my God, really? You know what is so funny is we were just talking about, somebody had brought up that like they were talking about like a professional social media and they were talking about they can't say like period or poop on it or something.
Yes.
And I was like, I don't understand that. Like these are literally just like parts of our lives.
Blows my mind.
And like, you know me, when Millie farts, what is she like? It's like our house. Like we like talk
it's
about
amazing.
Farting and it's like, because like I don't want her to be ashamed of her body. Like we're always
absolutely.
When she poops, I'm like, your body did exactly what it's supposed to do. Like, you fart like your body's doing exactly what you're supposed to do. But the other day, she ripped a huge fucking fart. And she was like, oh, that was a big one.
And I was like, see, yeah, that's, it was. But that's amazing because she's going to grow up feeling comfortable with her body. Comfortable with cursing.
I mean, it's hard. You can only control so much, right? Because what might happen is she gets to school and she does that and she gets made fun of.
Right.
There's risk, right?
But I think that's also a conversation you can have with her. I don't know how you have that conversation because I have no idea.
I just think that like body parts are just body parts, and same thing with like bodily noises and stuff. Like I just like feel like I think it's so funny that we still all pretend like we're not farting all the time.
I know.
Right? I mean, you know me in the office. I'm very considerate about my farting.
You
don't
are.
I always
tell
walk
me.
Away and I say, oh, yep. I'm going to go fart, and I walk away and do it
It's really
else.
Nice. It's really, really kind of you.
I try to be honest.
You are. And you're
about
open.
My body.
You are. And you're very open, and I appreciate it very much, and you respect my fart boundaries.
And I think that is a characteristic of good communication. That I communicate as opposed to doing an SPD, baby. Silent but deadly.
Oh, good.
SBD.
Right.
Silent but deadly.
It could also be like a passive aggressive where you just
just fart next to you. Oh, let's get away. To passive aggressive. Okay.
Wait, I missed some. I'm sorry. I skipped over so many. We got right. So off topic. So,
hopelessness. You give up and insist that there is no point, which I think is like a really, this goes with also some of that like always never thinking. Like this is always who they are. They're never gonna do this. There's no point in even communicating about it. Like I'm just done. And but I'm not just done and like letting it go. I'm done and I'm gonna hold it over their head.
I think that's a good piece of it. And it also made me think of someone who's very conflict avoidant, right? Like when you are keeping yourself from saying something for so long and you're thinking about it, like if you're conflict avoidant by nature and it's hard for you to
express the things you're thinking to begin with. You express it one time and get a negative reaction. You turn completely inward and say, I can never do that again, right? It's completely hopeless. Mm-hmm. And so I think that this is so common for people who are conflict avoidant, that they just turn inward and say, okay, well, it's hopeless. I knew that I should have kept this in to begin with.
Ooh, okay, so that's it. So the next one's demandingness. Demandingness? You say you're, for some reason I can't speak or say that word.
Demandingness.
You say you're entitled to better treatment, but you refuse to ask for what you want in a direct, straightforward way. So, do you have a good example?
Well, I'm just thinking like how common this is.
So I think this has got to be one of the most common ones, right?
Because I'm thinking about like in couples therapy, for example, when so often couples are saying to each other, well, like, can you stop doing this or can you stop doing that? And I have to consistently be like, well, can we talk about what you want them to do? Like, what are you interested in instead? And for the most part, they have no idea. Right. Like people don't even give themselves the option of saying, well, like, wait, what do I want instead? Or like what? And to be able to frame it in that way, as opposed to what you don't want, is actually so much more helpful for your communication. But so often we've been taught to just say the things that we don't want.
Yeah. And I think there's this other thing that people do is like, my partner should just know. Right. They should just know that I want them to take me out for a date once a month. Right. Like, OK, but they don't.
Right.
Right. So like instead say, hey, it's really important for me that we have this on the schedule once a month. Right. Like, and that we like make this a priority, because people really don't know.
They don't know. And I think what, like in that example, what we would do instead is like, you never spend enough time with me. Right. Like you're always working and you never make time for just me. And so like that would be an example of us, of you saying like, okay, this is what I don't want. I'm going to blame you for the fact that like we never spend time together, as opposed to saying, hey, can we make some more time for each other? This is what that would look like in my mind. What are your ideas about that? To like, I think it's hard to remember like you're on the same team and you're basically working to constantly come up with solutions. Do you ever do that to the demandingness? I'm trying to think of.
I don't do that one. I'm like very direct about what I want. That is not a problem I have. That is not one of mine.
I'm trying to think if it's one of mine, because I'm trying to be very honest about what I do.
No, I don't think you do that.
I don't think I do that either.
No, those are not two things we do. But you and I both have like more assertive communication in our relationships, but we also don't have a ton of anxiety in our relationships. Like, I think because like we both have like feel like very secure in our romantic relationships.
Yes.
I think when you have more anxiety, there is a desire to want more and also fear around asking for that. And so I think that would come up a little bit more.
Because it like builds up on you.
But what I think we might both do is the next one down, which is denial. You insist that you don't feel angry, hurt, or sad when you really do.
100% I do that.
That would be right on par, right?
And you know, my famous,
this is a really hard one. Because sometimes it feels like, one, I don't have the bandwidth to talk about this, or I'm conflict avoidant, or I feel like I'm wrong for having this feeling. Like, I think that's like a big one for me, because like I've experienced like shame for having big emotions, that like sometimes my partner's like, are you okay? I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm fine. But like, that's not true. But like, I don't have the verbiage, and I have fear about expressing truly how I feel, because like sometimes that's been conditional in my relationships, that I need to like be happy and content. And if I say the other stuff, what's going to happen?
Right. That it's going to blow up in some way, or something bad could happen. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet, with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blueland products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blueland proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blueland is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blueland has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
See, for me, I have to, because I process things so internally, I have to sit with my own feelings first and like understand them before I can express them in a way that feels safe. And so, but sometimes my reaction to my feelings comes, you know, is coming so quickly before I'm able to process it myself. Like, I might start crying because I'm frustrated about something without really understanding why I'm frustrated. It's just like a visceral reaction. And so if I'm crying and my partner's like, you know, like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I'm crying, but I'm like, oh, I'm fine. What do you mean? I'm just tired. You know, I'm that's my favorite. I'm just tired. Which I am, but like, yeah, there's other stuff going on. But the reason why I say that for the most part is because I personally have not processed it first. So I can't really tell you what I'm feeling or why I'm reacting this way until I'm able to process it. Sometimes I'm able to communicate that where I'm like, and I've said this before where I'm like, listen, I have to process this before I can talk about it. But I think one thing I've learned to say when I do that is like, it's not personal to you, because I think that when your partner starts to feel anxious, right? Like if you're upset about something and, you know, your partner instinctively is like, I want to make you feel better. I don't want you to be upset. I think that's so common in relationships that they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Like they want to help or they want to understand. That I've gotten really good at being like, listen, it's not personal to you. I'm just like really upset or I'm like really frustrated. I have to like think about this and then we could talk about it. Because mm-hmm. I think if you can set that boundary of like, it's not about you, or we can talk about this at a different time so that it eases their anxiety, which is not your job, but helpful in your communication. That's for me what I have to do is like process it myself.
Okay. Well, so then I have to ask you, with that process, do you ever get into passive aggressive where you pout or withdraw or say nothing and then you may storm out of the room or slam doors? You have to be honest. The show.
I think it's not instinctual for me. I think it takes me a lot to get to that point, but what I am at that point is bad.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's like you've gotten to the end of it.
Yeah, I'm at the end of it where my fuse is so short.
Yeah, okay.
What about you? And what will you do? I mean,
hello, have you met me? Of course. Like, yeah. But, like, but mine's not passive aggressive. Mine's just straight up aggressive. So, like, no. Like, and I don't really think of, like, slamming doors as passive aggressive, you know, that much. Like, I understand it, like, because, like, other people it is. But, like, no. There's no passive aggressive happening here. Just aggressive. Just
aggressive, aggressive. Also, I live in an old house, and if I try to slam a door, it, like, gets stuck on the floor.
Couldn't even work for your house.
Doesn't work. Like, my door is, like, and falling also, off the hinges.
Also, your... Okay, Jed, in your house, your stairs are so narrow and steep, you couldn't even, like... Like,
stop
when
I'm
at
the
your
stairs,
house,
I would, like, fall.
Wait, when I'm at Jen's house, I'm holding on to the fucking walls, like, slowly walking down. I'm so scared. That house was not made for fat people. Like, that... I'm like, bah.
It's
like,
that one, it's, that one, like, that one staircase with the turn.
Yes, yes. Scary. That is so scary. But so, like, I wouldn't even be able to, like, slam the door and, like, stomp down the stairs because I'd be
I would, like,
to fall.
Also, imagine me, just picture me, like, passive-aggressively stomping up the stairs, then falling.
Oh, yes, yes.
Right? Really ruins the
it
whole
It really
message.
Does. Yeah, the entire drama of it. Okay. But let's talk about this one. Self-blame. Instead of dealing with the problem, you act as if you're an awful, terrible person.
I don't do that.
No, I don't do that one either.
Because we're too busy being like,
I'm just
so
not,
confident.
I just, there is just not a part of me that goes, like, there's a place sometimes in motherhood that I can, like, feel, like, some internal shame. But, like, no, I sure as fuck don't think I'm a terrible person.
Yeah, I don't go there at all. No. You know, I wonder, there's a piece of that is manipulative, right? Like, yeah. Where if someone's expressing something to you of, like, hey, I really didn't like how
weaponized your tears.
Right. And you're saying, like, I'm so terrible. It turns into more about you than it is about the person's feelings. Yeah. Right. Because so, like, you're like, oh, I'm such a terrible person. Like, I can't believe I did that again.
The one time I feel like in my mom, like, really called me out on it. This is the time where it's, like, sometimes, like, great to have, like, a mom who's, like, so assertive and direct. And then also, like, I was like, oh, fuck my life. The one time Millie fell and, oh, it was... I was, like, letting her play on something I probably shouldn't have, but, like, I'm really into, like, letting her explore and, like, trust her body. And, like, she fucking fell. Meh. Like fell over into this concrete thing. And I'm, like, you know, having complete breakdown of, like, oh, my God, I'm such a horrible mom. And my mom was like, you are making this about you right now and not about her with your own shame. And I was like, ooh, ouch. But also, you're right. You know what I mean? So now, like, when she goes through that, instead of, like, going internally to me, like, I have to, like, detach from what's happening for me. First take care of her and then I can come back. And I think that is, like, really important for other communication, is that, like, if you make it all about you when someone's coming to you in pain, then you're missing the entire relationship.
Well, I can imagine too that, you know, like, you're learning to be a mom, and I'm not a mom, but I can imagine you're constantly learning,
I guess.
And but, like, I'm just thinking about, like, in relationships, for example, like, we're relationship experts. We feel pretty confident in ourselves, yes. Even if we're not doing everything right. You know, like, we have a level of confidence in our relationships where we're not like, oh, my God, I'm so bad at this, where I just can imagine him being a new mom. There's insecurity there. You've never done this before. Yeah. You're, like, still learning how to do this. And so I think it's so much easier to go into that, like, self-blame and kind of shame around that when you're not feeling as secure in the role. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, as you, like, learn and you grow and you, like, recognize, like, even that, even your ability to be like, mom, that was, like, ouch, but, like, you're right.
Yeah.
Because you could have also gone right into self-blame again. Like, oh, yes. I'm so bad. I can't believe I did that. But, like, you took that and said, I'm going to learn from this. And I think that that's kind of the important thing. And the more secure you feel in those roles, just in general, the more secure you feel in your relationships, it's going to be easier to not go to that place.
Okay, so the next one is something I know that we do. Which is helping. Instead of hearing how depressed, hurt, or angry the other person feels, you try to solve the problem or help him or her.
This might be my number one.
Yep. Right?
It's painful.
This is not my number one, but I know it's your number one.
This is 100%.
Okay, so let's talk about it.
I think I go right into therapist mode. You know, I go right into, huh, where's that coming from for you? You know, where's that coming from for you? And I think it's a way to protect myself from acknowledging the feelings. Even if from coming from my perspective, I don't fully understand it. I think I go right into therapist mode where I'm like, oh, where's that coming from for you? Yeah. But you know what? He does that shit to me when I'm upset about something and I'm like, oh, fuck, I do that. You know,
well, like, I mean, men in general tend to be helpers, and we just happen to be in two heterosexual relationships that we're married to men. And my husband is like, oh my God, he's always, whenever I'm stressed, he always starts like cleaning the house more. And he's like, well, I know this helps you. And I'm like, which I do appreciate, but I'm like, that's not at all like what I'm talking about right now. It's lovely. Lovely.
It's a good try.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Wait. Sarcasm. This definitely isn't mine. Your words or tone of voice.
That was sarcastic.
You got it. Your words or tone of voice convey tension or hostility when you aren't openly acknowledging. Right? So I use a lot of sarcasm.
I'm trying to think. I think I do too.
And I honestly, and sarcasm, that's dirty communication. Like, that is like fucking dirty.
Okay, here's the thing though. For me, for some reason, sarcasm almost diffuses our fights.
Well, I guess, are you using sarcasm to connect or using it to hurt? Right? I mean, I feel like if you're using sarcasm in a critical, right, attacking way, it's very different than using like a lighthearted sarcasm to like connect and like diffuse.
Yeah. So when I think about it, I'm like, there's, and it's not even connect. It's like you almost make fun of like the fight in a way. Yeah. And it kind of like brings you out of it.
But this example is talking about like when you're not openly acknowledging it, right? So like you're
hostile.
Exactly. Like that's very different than what you're talking about, right? Like I don't think using jokes and sarcasm are like a problem when you're doing it in like a connection way.
So you said this happens in your relationship?
I could do this.
Yeah.
I can do this one. Mm-hmm. I can. I can totally like, okay, here's like an example. Yesterday I came home. We get our groceries delivered. The groceries were outside. I had told Aaron they were being delivered. It's fucking hot as shit out right now. It's so goddamn humid.
So
groceries
hot.
Are sitting outside. Aaron's on a phone call. My daughter's watching TV. I walk in. The dog is barking. The kid's freaking out. I gotta bring these things. He's on a call. You know what I mean? And so, like, then he gets out. And I'm kind of like, oh, that must have been a lovely call. Like, you know what I mean? Like, as opposed to being like, hey, that was an overwhelming way for me to come in, or acknowledging that he got stuck on this phone call. You know what I mean? Because, like, I was, like, in that moment, like, pissed that I, like, ordered all these groceries and they were sitting in the hot sun. And, like, that wasn't his fault, and it definitely wasn't intentional, but, like, there was, like, an overwhelmed that I feel, right? Because I had this expectation I was going to walk in the house, the groceries would have been delivered, I would have been, like, I wanted him to, like when he comes and greets me immediately, those expectations did not occur.
Or like when I think that's probably a common one where you're like, oh, well, good to see you too.
Yes. Ooh, yes. That,
right? I feel like that's a common one. Yep, like, great, okay, to see you.
All right. Scapegoating. You suggest that the other person has a problem and that you're sane, happy, and uninvolved in the conflict.
I absolutely, oh, that's, do you. That.
Okay. There you,
that's,
go.
That's, once again, I think I go into like therapist mode.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you ever do that?
No, I'm involved in everything. I have no boundaries. No, that's, I don't think that's me. Defensiveness. You refuse to admit at wrongdoing or imperfection.
Yeah, I do that also.
Okay, great.
Do you do that one?
Yes, of course.
Of course. And guys, listen. Once again, we are well aware that these are not helpful in communication.
But in the moment, sometimes they just happen, right? Like, that's the importance of knowing these.
I have to say, too, that one of the things we talk about, and we've mentioned this before, is that times in which your resources are low, right? Like, if you've had a long-ass day, if you're tired, and this is why we said go to bed angry and wake up and have the conversation the next day. Because if your resources are low, it's much more difficult to regulate your emotions and to make decisions based on your communication overreacting. So like all of these things, these characteristics of bad communication, it's a way in which you're reacting and protecting yourself. And so the goal is more so to respond versus react. And so I just wanted to throw that in there, that the more exhausted you are, the more stressed you are, the easier it is going to be to engage in some of these things.
Okay, here's one that I used to do a lot that I do not do anymore. But this was like the beginning of our relationship. Also, we were like drinking and young and stuff, right? Okay, counterattacked. And instead of acknowledging how the other person feels, you respond with their criticism by criticizing them.
Mm.
That was like a big, like Emily in her 20s was rocking that shit. Uh-huh, yeah.
So you're, so like if he were to bring up something to you, your response to that
was to completely deflect it 100%
Absolutely.
Right back onto it. And the other thing young Emily would do, which is our last one we're talking about, is diversion, which is instead of dealing with how you both feel in the here and now, you list grievances about past injuries.
That
also was a big one I did.
Also a very, very common one.
Yes.
And I also think it's a very, very common one for people who are more conflict avoidant, because that shit has been building up on you and you have not expressed it in the past. So I think it's just so. And once again, we're doing this. We're telling you this to let you know that you are not alone. Even if you understand these things, even if you learn these things, even if you practice them, you will never be perfect. You are human and your go-to is going to be to protect yourselves. But we want to list these out. And so that you know and you can recognize it in the moment, because the goal of working on your communication is to recognize what are the things that I do that I can change, not what are the things my partner does. That's probably part of the bad communication. Yes.
Okay. Dear Em and Jen, let's do it. You got it?
I don't have it out. Nope.
I got it. Dear Em and Jen, what's your best breakup advice? I love you guys and your podcast, and I'm really struggling with moving to a new state, job, apartment, and breaking up with my long distance boyfriend. That is a lot of transition. That's a lot of grief at once.
Right. Okay. I have a couple of things. Get off social media. Stop following them. Stop following their friends. Get off social media. So stop often.
And even other friends have nothing to do with it.
Other friends. Absolutely. I think so often people are worried about unfollowing exes because they're like, oh, they're gonna think that's petty. No,
who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? You got to protect yourself and you got to take care of yourself, and in order to do that, you have to get off social media, because that will torture you. And if you're having trouble doing that, I want you to ask yourself, when you go on social media and you're looking at their shit or you're looking at their friend shit and you're trying to find things, say, how am I feeling right now? What is this doing for me? And another piece, which I think is really important, is to find distractions with friends. Be with other people and get off your phone.
And they just moved to a new state, right? So part of this is also, I'm sure, like some loneliness and isolation they're feeling in this specific situation. Like typically my best breakup advice would be like, this is a really great time to like get involved in something within your community or try different things out or you know, stay busy in some ways. But like another part of this is like, this person might be feeling really isolated, and so like connecting in some other ways of like, whether that is doing Zoom happy hours with friends you moved away from, or finding different ways to get involved, or volunteering, right? Like, so say like, okay, like part of a breakup can bring loneliness and grief, and so how am I doing that? How am I mourning and grieving this,
right? And let yourself, and I think so often there's this idea about, okay, I should be over this in this amount of time. And I can tell you that every relationship is different. Every breakup is different. Give yourself however long it takes. And here's another thing, and we want to like almost debunk this, is sometimes you can get into another relationship and still be grieving a past relationship. That is okay. It is okay to still feel that. It does not mean you don't care about this new partner. And I think, you know, we have such an idea about like, oh, I need to be over this person, or I need to not be grieving this past relationship in order to get into another one. But it's okay to acknowledge that. And it's okay to allow yourself to still feel that as you're exploring other things.
Absolutely. And that's today's episode.
today's episode.
So, hey, if you related to bad communications and you like want to learn more, you can always check out our e-course. You can learn more about that.
There's so much. Yep. Yes. And we walk you through it. And there's so many more activities, things you can do, connect with your partner, figure your shit out in an e-course. Shit out.
That's what our new tagline should be.
Figure your shit out.
Let's get rid of know yourself, grow yourself, and we'll just say figure your shit out.
I love it. I'm into it.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode. If you like this episode or you think someone else in your life might like it, please make sure to send it over. We'd love if you would rate, review, and subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts. And we love you all. And don't forget, figure shit out and you got to know yourself to grow yourself. Take care, everyone.